Anthony Chadwick, introducing and welcoming you to another episode of Vet Chat. And we're very fortunate today to have Dr. Hannah James, who is the Sustainability and ESG Manager at Vet Partners. Hannah's also a chartered environmentalist, did master's and PhD in the whole area of low carbon technology and microgeneration, and has had a varied career, but is now at Vet Partners. Really pleased to have you on the call. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Anthony. Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me.
Yeah, a very interesting background, working for some big companies, also for, I think it was Yorkshire Water. So what brought you and what got you interested in getting involved in the veterinary industry and sustainability in general?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, sustainability in general, I think, goes back a long way. You know, I was, as a child, quite a worrier and always wanted to solve problems. And I think growing up in the 90s, people were just starting to talk about the hole in the ozone layer. And, you know, Blue Peter were doing their big aluminium can challenge. So it was always in my mind. I went to university and did environmental sciences. And then I kind of moved through my PhD into the renewable energy side of things, was kind of going down the engineering route in the energy side with ACOM, and then realised that perhaps I was just getting a bit too, I was really going down that path of being an engineer, and I thought, I don't really want to be an engineer, actually. I want to get back into more what I'd call the rounded sustainability side of things. So I made a bit of a move. You know, as you said, worked for a couple of different companies, including most recently Yorkshire Water, and was having a great time. But really, in all honesty, I was just ready to take the next step in my career, take on a role where I'd maybe have a bit more influence in kind of the direction the company was taking. And I saw the opportunity at Vet Partners. I'd never considered working in the veterinary world, I have to be honest. But I did a bit of research into Vet Partners, and I really liked what I saw. You know, they had on their website all the kind of values that they worked by. I didn't know a lot about the veterinary industry, but I do have a cat, so I was familiar with the great work that vets do. And yeah, went for it, and that's how I ended up at Vet Partners.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing, isn't it? You know, ESG is now becoming more and more important, even for investors. They want to see companies that are actually trying to make a difference, that are purpose-centered. And I know, you know, I've met Jo, and she's very inspirational. Yeah. The values are so important, being purpose-centered as well. And it's really been interesting to see some of the work you've been doing around recycling during the pandemic. I saw in Vet Times the work you'd done on TerraCycle. Perhaps talk to us a little bit about how that all came about and what you've actually been doing to see if this is something that can help other practices as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, so it's interesting you mentioned Jo, actually, because I think Jo was the one who said, you know, she kind of had this realization. We were mid-pandemic chaos. We just asked all of our colleagues in practice to wear full PPE at all times. So that's, you know, mask, goggles, apron, gloves, obviously not very comfortable for people, but, you know, we had to do it because had to protect each other. But actually people kept saying, it really doesn't feel good chucking all this stuff in the bin at the end of every day or the end of every shift or whatever. What can we do about it? And despite everything else that she had on her plate, you know, Jo kind of came to me and said, can you look at whether there's anything we can do about this? I'd had some dealings with TerraCycle from a previous role, so I knew that they did really good work and they're really legit, you know, and they do all this amazing work recycling stuff that can't normally be recycled. So I just said to Jo, look, we can use this company, we can do it. It's going to cost us a bit more, but can we do it? And she said, yes, absolutely. Gave me the go ahead. And as soon as we started doing it, the response from practices was just amazing, really. You know, people have been really happy about it. We've had almost universally positive response to it. And people said, you know, at least it feels better that we know this stuff's getting recycled. It's not just going straight in the bin. I guess my advice to other practices on that score is it does cost a bit more, So one thing to do is to talk to your existing waste provider and see if they can provide a solution for you, because often they can. And if, especially if they know you're thinking about, you know, paying some money to someone else to do it, they might be able to do something for you. But yeah, if not, you know, TerraCycle is a great company. There are other companies out there who are starting to do it now, so worth shopping around as well. But yeah, I think that one was, it came at the right time. Morale was very low because people were and are still, you know, incredibly overwhelmed with what they were having to do in the pandemic. So it was something positive and maybe something to think about that wasn't just COVID all the time. So it was nice.
It's nice to have some good news stories, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Zoe Halfakri was talking at our virtual conference in February and was saying that only 8% of medical plastic is recycled. So it is a huge area, isn't it? That and then we had Craig Bennett speaking at one of our earlier chats on sustainability. The whole area of plastic is, he has a quite a an evangelical approach, which is just get rid of all plastic, which I think is the ideal, but it's going to take us some time to reach that, isn't it? But it's a great initiative, and thanks for the great work that you and Joe and the rest of the Vet Partners guys have been doing on that. I think it's been a great lead for other practices seeing it on Vet Times. Again, using Craig Bennett's example, you know, when I asked him what did he think Vet should be doing, he very much recognised that we are at the centre of the community. We're often respected in the community as well. So the actions that we take actually are seen by others, aren't they, by the clients that come in. And that also has a massive effect, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I can't remember now who it was, whether it was the BVA or someone, one of those bodies did a survey and said basically vets are one of the most trusted professions in the UK at the moment. So yeah, you're absolutely right. And I've had quite a few queries from colleagues in practice actually about how they can do better at communicating with their clients, what they're doing. Becky, who's just joined our team actually in Vet Partners as a sustainability advisor, she was talking to me the other day about let's talk to colleagues about how they can give advice to clients on, you know, responsible sustainable pet ownership and companion animal ownership. So yeah, it's I think vets have got a huge role to play, like, you know, and it's, they've got a huge role to play, and for whatever reason, the veterinary profession seems to attract people who are extremely kind of dynamic, very proactive, really, really engaged in these topics. Like, that's something I noticed moving into the veterinary sector as a sort of relative newcomer. The engagement and response I've had from my colleagues has been way more than I've ever had in any other job. So it's interesting. There's obviously something about vets and nurses that they're, you know, super engaged, super proactive.
Well, I think we love animals and therefore want. You know, if the environment degrades, then clearly animals, and obviously humans, also suffer. We've seen that in the last week with the terrible floods in Germany. This is all connected. And if we have a holistic approach to it, we're more likely to make some success, aren't we, rather than, you know, see it as individual things and not piece them together.
Absolutely. Yeah, it goes back to that one health yes. idea, doesn't it, which I think is really important. Yeah.
Just talk to me a little bit about any other initiatives that Vet Partners, anything we've got to look out for, anything can you give us any sneak previews on anything?
Sneak previews. Yeah, well, our big focus this year, well, we've got a few big focuses this year. One is investors in the environment. So it's been a goal of ours for quite a long time to get to encourage and to help our practices start working towards some of those investors in the environment accreditations. You know, we've seen at kind of shout out to Davies and to some of the practices at Linnaeus. Yeah. We know they've had great success with that. And we've expanded the sustainability team a little bit here, so I've got a bit more resource to start focusing on these things. So we're doing a big push on that, basically building up a bit of a set of internal resources to help support our practices, both with investors in the environment and more generally. So we've got a lovely new e-learning platform, actually, that all colleagues have got access to. It's really lovely, user-friendly. I've done a few things on it. And we're just about to go live on a kind of big guide to sustainability in practice for vet partners on that. I'm really excited about this because I've been telling people for ages that I'm doing this big guide and I haven't managed to launch it. But now Becky and Harriet have joined my team and helped me out with that. We're going to go live on that soon. The other thing, which kind of doesn't sound quite as interesting at first glance, but I think will lead to really good things, is actually just getting a really, really solid baseline for vet partners as a whole on our energy use and our carbon emissions. So Vet Partners has grown so quickly over the last few years. We've kind of gone from being quite a you know, relatively small company to quite a large company. And it's been really difficult to get hold of kind of high quality information on the energy we're using, you know, the amount of fuel we're using for fleet vehicles, water consumption, stuff like that. But our procurement team's done some amazing work on kind of harmonizing some of our contracts. And I'm now starting to get really, really good data on exactly how much energy we're using across the business. And that means we can get a really good baseline of carbon emissions and then look to the future and say, okay, what is our emissions reduction target, you know, for the next 5 years, 10 years and beyond.
Brilliant. Hannah, we did invest in the environment last year. So we're now a silver business and obviously want to go green as well. But part of the green thing is that you do have to calculate your carbon. So we're going through a similar process as well, which is that's fascinating. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I noticed when I was reading up about on you that you also do some work, voluntary work for Lifescape Project, or you're interested in that area and rewilding. One of my favorite books of last year was definitely Isabel Tree's Rewilding, talking about the NEPA state. Tell me a little bit about what you're getting up to there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, like a lot of people, I was actually furloughed for some of last year during the pandemic, and I started to I was looking for volunteering opportunities, and Lifescape actually is it's a fantastic charity. It's quite a small charity, but they've got a massive reach, and it's grown out of this sort of partnership between a law firm and ACOM, which is a company I used to work for. And they've got a few branches of activity. One of them is kind of using the legal might of Clifford Chance and this law firm to kind of use environmental law to help push forward conservation and things like that, which is really cool. And then one of the other branches is this rewilding initiative. They've got a partnership with an area up in the Scottish Highlands called Birchfields. And it's a couple, Roger and Emmy, who are absolutely fantastic. They own this land and they've started to reforest it and look at rewilding, doing all sorts of cool stuff there. They're kind of, you know, all the, like taking soil samples, looking at what effects it's having on the river and like different endangered species starting to come back to the area, like eagles, they've got red squirrels. My role in all this is quite minor. I essentially do some social media for them. So if you see a tweet coming out from Lifescape or a LinkedIn post, it's probably about a 50 to 60% chance that I've written it. And it was just a really nice thing to get involved with, you know, especially while I was furloughed, but I've carried on with it now to feel that I'm, you know, making a small amount of difference in that area as well.
Yeah. It was, again, fascinating to just bring Craig back into the conversation. The Focus Wildlife Trust is 30 by 30. So 30% of the country's mass, you know, being put back to nature use. And even in the natural parks, you know, the national parks rather, a lot of that land, yes, it looks like it's good for nature, but actually it's very monocultured and isn't really very good for nature. So it's also going to be the farm side, isn't it? Which I know Vet Partners has a farm side. So it will be interesting to see how farming can contribute to rewilding and change some of maybe strategies and things as well, which is probably a bigger topic. But
interesting. Yeah, it is. We're doing some work. We're doing some work with some of our farm vets at the moment, actually. We've got a few farm vets who are really, really passionate about like regenerative agriculture and both on the kind of veterinary side in terms of how you can look at the treatments you're using and the way you're approaching it, and also in the broader side. You know, I think there's a big opportunity with the new ELMS system and some of the things that are in the new environment bill. You know, if it works as it's intended, there's a huge role for farmers to play. You know, that so much of especially the UK's landscape is agricultural, and I think a lot of farmers are really taking on that initiative and doing some great stuff. I mean, when I was at Yorkshire Water as well, they've got what they call Beyond Nature. They have a lot of farm tenancies, and they're working with farmers there to kind of have these modern tenancies where they're supporting and encouraging farmers to start re-wetting peatlands and putting some areas back to wild. So yeah, massive opportunity. And like you said, it's a huge area, probably a whole separate podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. Just as a sort of finish up, obviously trying to bring this very practically into what can we as vets be doing, you know, to become more green in our practices or in our personal life. So have you got maybe two or three tips, something that we can be looking at?
So personal life, something that I really focused on at the beginning of this year, actually, was looking at where I invest my money. And invest sounds very grandiose. It's not like I've got a great share portfolio or anything like that. But even no matter what, you know, no matter what your financial situation is, it's having a look at who you bank with, who your pension's with, who your savings are with, because actually that can, when you look at the amount of money that people have got in pensions and savings, that can be an absolutely huge huge impact compared to your day-to-day spending. So I switched my bank over. I mean, I wouldn't, everyone should look and decide on, you know, for themselves what brands they're using. I switched my bank over to Triodos, for example. I looked at some of my old pensions that were sitting in pension pots that maybe were still investing in fossil fuels, moved them over to ones that were investing in the kind of more ethical and environmental ones. And if people want to do that, I think there's a website called Ethical Consumer, and even like Money Saving Expert and stuff like that. They've got some great guides on just how to look at your money and start using it ethically. So that's my kind of top personal tip. And then for people in practice, I mean, again, I think when you start thinking about, right, how can I be more sustainable? It can feel a bit overwhelming, like there's so many different things you can do. So maybe just pick one area at a time and say, okay, well, I'm concerned about waste. We'll start focusing on just say, okay, I'm going to look at how we can use less single-use plastic, start looking at where you can use reusables, or if you've got any outside space, have a look at the Wildlife Trust website, bring it back to Wildlife Trust. They've got some absolutely fantastic tips on how to make even small outside areas, you know, more nature friendly. Just take it one step at a time. Don't feel like you have to be perfect. You know, just start with something and you'll start to see results. And I guess, again, pointed to some brilliant resources. Vet Sustain have just brought out a kind of greener veterinary checklist that's available for free on their website. Take a look at that. Just start working down a few of the items they've got on there and see what you can do.
Fantastic, Hannah. It's been so good speaking to you. It is something that, you know, I'm very passionate about, and obviously at the Webinar Vet and Alpha Vet International in general. But it's great to know that there's lots of other people doing great work, because I think, as you said, it can look as if it's too big a thing to do as an individual. But as you see people coming together, industry, you know, as well as hopefully government starting to move the needle, I think we can do great things. So thank you for all the great work you're doing at Pet Partners.
No, thank you. Like, thanks so much for inviting me to talk to you. It's been really interesting. And yeah, absolutely. Like, everything you do, even if it's really small, it's part of something bigger. And I think collectively, we can have a huge impact.
Thanks so much, Hannah. Take care. Thanks, everyone. And we'll
see you
on another podcast very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.